Hello and welcome to Friday's HTXT Africast. This is the penultimate podcast we're doing for 2015 because we're all going on holiday at the end of next week.
Yay!
That was Charlie Fripp, and also joining us in the studio is Dion Duplessis.
Hello, everyone.
Now, as we all know, it's been a rather rubbish week for news. The Rand is, you know, the value of the Rand is dropping faster than digested berries from a budgie's backside. And rather than rehash all the bad news this week, we thought we'd do a public service announcement. There are several great games from 2015 that we just didn't have the time to get around because they were lying in Dion's living room.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Games go to your house and they disappear into the ether.
Bit of a black hole, that place.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through all these games that we didn't review this year, and because it's quite a bit to get through, each one gets 3 minutes talk time. We're going to kick off with a game that the pair of you have been playing, Just Cause 3, which Charlie described to me yesterday as liberation through destruction.
Yes. Just Cause 3, you play the character of Rico, you go to the island of Majiti, which is also Rico's home island, and it's the more of the same. Well, kind of. You still need to liberate the areas through one-ton destruction, which is absolutely fantastic, and I've kind of taken the same approach to that as Assassin's Creed, where I ignore the main plot and I just cause destruction as far as I, you know, as far as the plane can fly. It's really cool. I really like it. But if you have played Just Cause 2, and maybe not the first one, but if you played Just Cause 2, it's pretty much the same thing.
With prettier graphics.
It's much prettier graphics, but you know what you're getting yourself into. It's a very, very fun game.
Okay.
It's not very serious. It's really all about the destruction. The story itself is pretty much break stuff, liberate the place, and whatever you break, your friend repairs, essentially.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, whatever you break, you buy.
No. The only thing you buy is things with which to break more things.
Okay.
But it's kind of like the game knows what it's about, because destruction, obviously, is a huge part of it. And like Dion said, right in the beginning, like I think it's even in the tutorial messages, your little sidekick friend Mario,
no relation.
He tells you, he says, whatever you destroy, we will repair. So it's kind of like, you know, the game saying, yeah, okay, screw it. We know that you're just going to blow up stuff, so we might as well just make it official. Go ahead and do it.
Is the radio station as funny as it was in Just Cause 2? Because I remember that being one of the highlights.
There are no radio stations.
That's terrible.
No, there's no radio stations.
I don't know about any radio stations.
No, there's no radio
stations. There was radio stations in the last one. I remember because you'd be driving along and the state radio station would go, the protest that took place at the palace of the illustrious leader did not take place, and things like that.
Oh, right. No. Whenever you liberate a base, there is like this little PSA that comes up with a...
Oh, that's right. There's like little announcements that come out over the loudspeakers that are dotted around the place.
Yeah,
right.
That says the so-and-so military base was a complete eyesore, so we decided to destroy it. But in actual fact, it's your doing. So there are those little radio stations, but there's nothing that you can tune into. A couple of things that I don't like about it is...
Falling through the map.
Besides the 3 gig day one patch, your perks and stuff need to be unlocked. Your skills need to be unlocked through the use of gears, and you get gears by completing challenges, and the better you do in a challenge, the more gears you get. But that's fine. But things like fast travel, you need to unlock that, and then you can...
As a skill.
Well, you need to play the main story a little bit, and then you unlock it through the game.
I'm sorry, your time is up. Right, so would you say essential or not?
It's a fun game. If I had to pick a score on it, I would go 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think it's an essential play. It's fun to do if you've got nothing else, but you know, rather play Fallout.
Okay, so the next game, okay, and we're going to pick one that actually did disappear into the back hole of Dion's living room, which is Guitar Hero Live, which is a point of contention because some people around the office were really excited to play it.
Yes, and so you should be, though, because it is It's actually surprisingly good. You get a new guitar this time around with a new button configuration, so it's not just the five buttons that you have to press. There are now six, but they're clustered closer together. There's a top row of three, a bottom row of three, and depending on the difficulty that you're playing on, obviously that's the speed of the notes that come at you, and then having to press top and bottom at the same time and combinations thereof. It takes you about 5 minutes to get used to the new control system, but it'll probably take you a lot longer than that to actually master it if you play it on the more difficult levels. It's a hell of a lot of fun. The soundtrack, or the track list, needs a bit of help though, because I don't buy a game called Guitar Hero to play a Skrillex song.
Katy Perry?
Or
Bruno Mars.
And I understand these tunes are popular, but it's called Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
fine, you play a guitar and these other songs are coming, but I expect proper guitar music, but apparently I'm in the minority.
Proper guitar music, I love this. This is Dion revealing his age. Where's the grunge?
Grunge, munge, give me the 80s glam rock. I'll take that over what's on there any day.
Back in the day when I was playing video
all
games.
These young scallywags and their new music.
Okay, so here's the thing. So far, so Guitar Hero, but apparently it's a huge package on top of that.
You said package.
Oh my God. Yeah, so what else do you get apart from fiddling away with Katy Perry?
In terms of the track list, I would have to look it up.
Not track list, but has it got any other features?
They've redone the whole way you interact with your band thing. So now, instead of you looking at 3D rendered graphics, that you actually look at live, what looks like live footage of you playing in the band. And
right.
They blend the stuff together so seamlessly. So if you start off and you're playing really, really well, your bandmates are going, yeah, this is awesome, and they're clearly rocking out. And the second you start screwing up, the video changes very subtly to the point where you don't even notice it. It feels actually quite natural, where they actually start looking at you and going, what the hell are you doing? And you actually feel pretty bad for letting them down. And it's also seamlessly done. That I'm super impressed with the way that Ubisoft have handled it.
And Guitar Hero TV?
Yeah.
Guitar Hero TV, that's where you play along to live music videos, and there's like a whole selection of them that are running on a rotational basis. I haven't had extensive experience with it, but it seems like quite a good idea because they're constantly updating the track lists and stuff.
But all in all, it's still Guitar Hero, right? It's
an evolution of Guitar Hero in a genuine sense of the word. This isn't like marketing speak. This isn't the Guitar Hero you played the last time, and it's definitely worth playing again if you enjoy the last one.
Okay. Now, by the way, this 3 minutes isn't mandatory, so if you've said all you need to say about Guitar Hero, we can sum up and say, is it worth it, essential or not?
I don't know about essential. I think if you want to have fun with friends where everyone's playing a different instrument and singing and banging on drums, go with the previous versions. This one is just guitars for the moment. So if you want to have fun with friends, rather stick with the other ones. But this one is still worth playing.
Plastic guitar music is over.
Okay, right. So next up we have... you got in just in time.
Whoop, whoop.
Right, now a game that I haven't played but have wanted to play, and it was the water cooler game in the office before... Fallout 4 took over everyone's life, and that's The Witcher 3, which you maintain, both of you, that in spite of the appearance of Fallout 4 this year, The Witcher 3 is still the best game released all year.
It's definitely one of my standout games for this year. When I finished the main plot line, just the main plot line, I clocked 110 hours on it. And there's still a lot for me to do, and a lot left that I need to do, that I need to get to. So I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, but volume of content does not necessarily a great game make.
No, it doesn't. But it's in our industry, it is very, very difficult, very easy, sorry, to leave a game and move on to something else, because obviously by nature we don't pay for the game, so we don't actually have a monetary value on it. So it's very easy for us to move on to something else. I stuck it through with The Witcher.
Mm.
It's a game that engaged me from the beginning right until the end.
I'm very much the same. I thoroughly enjoyed it from beginning to end. You talk about volume of content doesn't make for a good game. All of the content in this game, though, is handcrafted. Everything is hand-placed. Every quest is designed by somebody who clearly cares about quests. You don't feel like you're going, go here, kill X number of those things and come back and get a reward. You know, there's always story woven into what it is that you're doing, and you feel like you're part of a living, breathing world. Mm. And sure, your actions don't change the landscape necessarily, but you kind of feel like you are actually making a difference in the lives of the people that you talk to in that. So there's lots of little personal touches. It's the kind of game that you only get from a studio where they're devoted solely to that, and you can see they're not just out to make a quick buck. They genuinely care about the subject matter, how it plays, how it looks. And honestly, I mean, it's won a lot of Game of the Year awards, and for very good reason.
Is there as much swearing in it as there was in The Witcher 2?
Swearing, boobs, sex, unicorns, so sex on unicorns,
basically
while swearing.
The closest you'll get to playing Game of Thrones without actually playing Game of Thrones.
Well, I don't know. Game of Thrones, no. I'd say The Witcher is a nicer game with a nicer world and nicer people. Game of Thrones is no, full of assholes.
But,
sorry.
But if Game of Thrones had a game, it would probably be The Witcher. It's probably the closest that you will get to a Game of Thrones game.
Okay, right. Okay, so essential or not?
Absolutely.
I think so. It's a game that's going to keep you over for a very, very long time if you play it.
I mean, it's value for money.
It's incredible value for money. There's 16 pieces of DLC that were all released for free.
Wow.
There's two more one expansion pack was launched already. There's another one coming. Yep. So the staying power is definitely worth it.
And right. Developers clearly care about the game.
Okay, so now we're going to give Dion a bit of a break, and we're going to talk about a game that disappeared into the black hole of Charlie's living room, which Woo-hoo. Is FIFA 16.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Right. So, okay, here's the thing about FIFA. Every single year they kick out of FIFA. And I stopped playing FIFA, I think, about FIFA 14, because I just thought to myself, I'm not any good at this game. But having played, like, several of them, there was always something that they did, like, a series of tweaks, nips, tucks here and there, that for 4 or 5 years there, you would pick up a controller of the next iteration of FIFA and you'd have a couple of teething problems, but within 5 minutes you'd settle into a rhythm and you would realize you are actually playing an evolution of what you played last year. Is that true of FIFA 16?
It's a bit of a tough one. It depends on where you stand with FIFA. I've played FIFA since FIFA 10. I'm by no means a hardcore player. I'm rubbish when it comes to online. So I suppose by that metric, I'm probably not a very good FIFA player overall. Mm. I like to tweak the little stats and stuff so that I can score like 14 goals and a half.
Charlie Fripp, striker.
I always play the striker or the left wing. Mm. But to me, it was more of the same. Obviously, it's a football game. I mean, what else can they do with a football game except get people to kick a football?
Well, I mean, they had 360-degree movement, power drill. I mean, yes, do they have what's the kick feature here?
That's what I was working towards. They did add a whole bunch of things that made the game just a lot more smoother. They've added new dribbling techniques. They've added new defensive techniques. They've added two more attacking features where you can actually, you can approach the player from different angles. If you do a slide tackle, you can actually get up a lot quicker.
All right.
You can also cancel a slide tackle midway, like kind of you go into it, you think you're not going to make it, and you kind of get up very quickly and you keep on running. So little tweaks like that don't contribute to the overall game being better. It's just on the field, like attacking, defense, those kinds of things, just tweaked it a little bit. And in that sense, it is actually very good.
Right.
And obviously, they've updated the graphics as well, which really helps.
Oh, that's good. How are we doing for time overall, Charlie?
We are on 13 and a half minutes.
Excellent. We're making good time. So I'm not going to even ask you if that one's essential, because I'm assuming that what you're going to say is, do you like FIFA? Yes, you will probably like this. Or will you?
Yeah. No, you will. You will. Yeah, if you've been a FIFA fan, you probably have the game already, so there's no need for me to tell you.
So in other words, it's FIFA 16. Half of the people listening to this already own the game, and the rest of you don't care. Okay. So what have we got next on the list? Batman Arkham Knight, which you haven't played, have you?
I played a little
bit. But you hate Batman.
Yeah, I don't like Batman. A friend of mine bought it.
Right, stop talking. Right, let's you don't know.
don't like the game.
You played it and liked it.
I did, yes.
Okay, so did I. What did you like the most about it?
I think I like the world, the detail in the world. I wasn't nuts about the tank sections. Batman's a bit of a brooding badass. I mean, that's always the case with Batman. But they animated him really well. The flying mechanic worked really awesomely. And the story actually wasn't too bad either. Mm. I quite enjoyed the new villain. He was kind of mysterious. most of the way through, and you kind of go, what the hell is this guy's deal? What you really wanted to find out, which kept me playing.
Yeah. Would you say that you had to love the Batmobile if you're going to like this game? Because I found that like the Batmobile is like, it is so integral to so many of the things that you do in Batman. I mean, I'm not just talking about the Riddler trophies, which are racetracks, because, like, you know, the Riddler has time to set all that stuff up because he's amazing. But, you know, there were certain missions where you had to use the Batmobile to get around in.
Right.
And it's like, if you didn't like the Batmobile, you were going to really, really battle through these areas.
Yes, and no. I didn't enjoy the tank battles initially, but it kind of grew on me.
Mm.
I started seeing how important it was to the new game, and I did eventually start appreciating the mechanics. But throwing tank battle after tank battle, and then those ridiculous battles where you had to get behind those big tanks to shoot them, yeah, specifically in the back, those irritated the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But no, I do see the value of the thing, and the design was incredible as well, sort of switching from tank mode into assault mode or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that was very
cool.
It's
a pity the PC people will never get to enjoy it.
I don't know, dude. I've heard things from some people who've gone, I didn't have a problem at all the really? Way through, played it on PC and didn't have any problem. And then, of course, you get the internet going, rabble, 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 this thing's a piece of shit. I mean, a piece of rubbish. it depends on who you talk to, I think.
Mm. You just didn't like it because Batman is too in your face, literally.
Yeah, I think I've been scarred since the first one, which was Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, Arkham Asylum.
Sorry. Arkham Asylum. Yeah, because to me, Batman was too big on the screen. Like, he took up like a third, like more than a third of the screen, and I just didn't like that. And I think that's why I didn't like the ones after that. I also didn't like the fighting mechanic, which is it was a bit weird for me.
Mm. On the contrary, I'd say they did the fighting mechanic perfectly this time. They mastered it.
Yeah, I think the fighting mechanics in Batman are some of the best I've ever played with.
Yeah, that's the reason everyone's ripping them off.
Mad Max, we're looking at you. There were a couple of things that I thought, you know, I miss the challenge rooms, you know, in the earlier games.
Right.
You got like challenge rooms where you could do, you know, predator rooms or big sort of combat fights. You didn't get that here.
Didn't they include that like as DLC or something?
I don't know. If they have, then I haven't downloaded it.
Right, fair
but
enough.
Yeah. But overall, I thought it was really, really good. You know, and a worthy end to Rocksteady's tenure with Batman. I mean,
they're not doing another one, right?
Well, yeah, they say they're not.
Yeah,
but
true.
Never say never. I mean, you know. I would say that Batman, for me, is essential. It's one of the best games this year. You know, you haven't played The Witcher 2, Witcher 3 and Batman. You'd probably say it's not up there with The Witcher. Oh, wait. But I'd say, yeah. Cool. If you like the other Arkham games, this one's really, really good. Okay, so, you know, there's this little thing called Star Wars coming out. And be it from video game publishers to not make some money off that. Star Wars Battlefront, a game I haven't played at all, but that you guys have been looking forward to. You played the beta, and
yeah, don't look at me.
You've played it at home.
Yeah, yeah, so I've
talked to us about.
I've played the full release. Battlefront is Battlefield in space.
Okay,
pretty much. It's a.
Is it really just a Star Wars skin Battlefield?
Kind of, yes, it is. I really don't want to be drawn into the argument of, oh, it's just a reskin game of something else. It can stand on its own two feet, but you need to love the Star Wars universe, and you need to love multiplayer only, and you need to come to grips with dying a lot, because you play with other people. And it's very, very... you know, for fans only, so to speak. There's a whole bunch of different maps and modes, like where you need to assault the AT-AT walkers, you need to control different modes, you need to... what else do you need to do? There's a whole bunch of things. There's TIE fighter battles that you can do. But yeah, it's not essential. It really isn't. It's one of those games that you can play for maybe like 2 or 3 hours, like once a week or so.
Doesn't really sound...
It's not.
Maybe it's just the heat in here. Everyone's like going, yes, go. If you like that sort of thing.
I'm actually battling to explain if people should buy it or not. Because, like I said, it's Battlefield, the typical Battlefield formula, just reskinned with Star Wars. You get your five or six different modes, which is the same, albeit maybe slight tweaks here and there from the usual Battlefield modes. You get all the light blasters, you get the TIE fighters, you get all the speeders, the different maps. There's Ewoks that throw rocks at your head.
There's even an achievement for that.
Yes, which you have.
No, seriously, I saw it pop on Charlie's Xbox profile.
Yeah, it's an achievement.
Well, it's Star Wars. There was once an achievement in The Force Unleashed for throwing Jawas into a lava pit.
It was. With this achievement, you can't do anything. You need to go to Endor, and you need to hope that Ewok throws a rock at your head. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely no skill in war. You just hear this.
So there's an achievement for intimidating teddy bears, basically.
Yes.
Right, excellent.
Get it.
Game of the year.
Teddy bears who are better at fighting than armor-clad stormtroopers with futuristic weapons.
Should you get it? Yes. If you're a Battlefield fan and a Star Wars fan combined into one, then you should get it.
Excellent. Right, now, I see from the clock there we're up to 20 minutes.
Yes.
Right. In that case, what we're going to do is we're going to basically say, okay, so game of the year for you guys, would you say?
That's your time up, Nick.
So here's the thing. You say your favorite game this year is The Witcher 3.
No.
No?
It was a worthy winner of game of the year, but I still have a soft spot for Dying Light.
Okay.
A new IP, brilliant mechanics, a pretty good story, lovely open world, awesome co-op, and as gory as I've always wanted a zombie game to be. Plus, they've got the crafting system. It just really ticked all the boxes for me.
That's awesome. Okay, for you.
The Witcher 3 and possibly, I'm not going to go Fallout 4, possibly left of center Tomb Raider.
Okay, all right. For me, it was Batman. And I don't care if anyone doesn't like it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it's a valid choice.
I was Batman.
I can see the appeal. Don't get me wrong. I can see the appeal. It's just not for me.
Okay. Now, just to round off, and I know this is quite unfair, but we have to have some bad news in because it is South Africa. I think what we should do is, what's the biggest disappointment for you this year?
I think I'm going to go with The Order.
Ah.
It was pretty, it was 6 hours long, the story made no sense, and those quick time events had me wanting to kill people.
So bad. I mean, the thing is about The Order is I had such high hopes for The Order.
Yeah, same.
The worst part is, okay, this is a fun experiment you can do at home if you have The Order. And if you're one of these people who's fortunate enough to own an Xbox 360 and a PS4, play one level of The Order, and then go to your Xbox 360 and slap on the very first Gears of War. And check the comparison.
Right.
The level design, the mechanics, the slick animation, just everything works. I mean, that to me was the nail in the coffin for The Order because, you know, if a video game developer can nail that, basically nail your central mechanics as far back as, what was it, 2006?
Yeah.
Over 10 years ago, and you're battling, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as pretty as the graphics are and as impressed as I was, they just don't make a great game.
How about you, Charlie?
It's a bit of a toss-up between two games.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefield Hardline was very disappointing in the sense that it was just yet another Battlefield game, cops and robbers.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I would have to go actually with Just Cause 3 as well.
Ooh.
In the sense that, like I mentioned, the unlocks that you need to do, the fast travel is just really weird, and you can only fast travel if you have beacons. If you don't have beacons, you need to, walk. The mechanics are weird. Precision aim is also a skill that you need to unlock. It's not there exactly Nick's face. It's not there from the beginning. It's just a little bit weird. The mechanics are also a little bit strange. It's not a bad game. I was just disappointed with some of the elements they included.
Okay. All right. And the last thing we're going to do in this podcast is...
Before we all melt,
is the game that you played this year that you didn't see much fanfare for anywhere else... That came at you completely out of left field and you would recommend?
Ooh, that's pretty easy for me.
Go.
Second episode was released this week. The King's Quest.
Ah!
The new King's Quest. Oh, I love it. It's an episodic five episode game of the new King's Quest. It's just really cool. It didn't get a lot of attention. The second episode was only released this week, which was 6 months after the first one. It's just really fun.
I think I'm going to go with Tales from the Borderlands. Also episodic adventure, Telltale game set in the Borderlands universe. Very good story, fun characters.
You'd really pick that over Pillars of Eternity.
I think Pillars of Eternity got a fair amount of attention, though.
I suppose so.
For me, it was Hard West. Hard West, yes. Cowboys and demons. Basically, it's a game set in the old West where everything was so evil, evil manifested itself on Earth, and it's essentially, if you imagine Unforgiven crossed with Hellblazer crossed with XCOM. That's basically Hard West.
Sounds pretty good.
It is really, really good. And that brings us to a close for our gaming podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope that we can steer you in some direction for what you're going to get the gamer in your life for Christmas. Hint, get him a game. Give him or her a game, because otherwise they will not enjoy their Christmas.
Also, buy it now before games are $1,500 this time next year. You heard it here first.
Anyway, thank you very much, Dion.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Thank you.
And we'll see you for the final podcast next week from this oven in which we record. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.